Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Voices are Action, Real World Radio's new podcast series where we bring the voices from the territories. On today's edition, we will travel to Argentina, specifically Mendoza province, and we will talk to activists of the Assembly for Water of Uspallata, a town in Argentina located at the head of the Mendoza River Basin, which is currently threatened by the actions of the San Jorge Mining Company, an open-pit gold mine operated by a Chinese corporation, together with a national business group. We will also provide updates on the grassroots protests and mass mobilizations in Panama. And lastly, we will be discussing the lawsuit filed over the shipwreck of the Express Pearl in Sri Lanka, a ship that caught fire and sank off the coast of that country, polluting the sea with dozens of chemicals and plastic pellets, destroying the marine environment, and leaving fisherfolk without their source for work and food, who today, 4 years after the disaster, are still demanding justice. We remind you of the ways you can find us on our website, rwr.fm, in English and Spanish, on Twitter at Real World Radio, Facebook Real World Radio, and on Instagram at real_world_radio.
Voices are action
in Real World Radio.
So we begin this fourth episode of Voices are Action in Argentina, specifically in Mendoza province, as we were saying. We had the opportunity to talk with comrades from the Assembly for Water of Uspallata. Uspallata is a town located at the head of the Mendoza River Basin, which is currently threatened by the actions of the San Jorge Mining Company, an open-pit gold mine owned by transnational corporations. As we know, the mines use toxic chemicals, and the possibility that they could contaminate a river so important for this province has kept the neighbors on alert and mobilizing for a long time. Because, as they say, water is worth more than gold. Now we are going to listen to Marcelo Romano, an environmental lawyer and one of the lawyers who is handling the technical defense of two environmentalists who were criminalized for defending water. In this first audio clip, the lawyer provides some general context information so that we can know how these resistance actions have been taking place.
Para hacer una introducción y ubicar a la audiencia cuál es nuestro flagelo.
To provide some more context to the audience about our difficult situation, Mendoza is a province that is to the west of Argentina on the border with Chile. Only 4% of its surface area is irrigated and the remaining 96% is a desert, so water is more important than anything here. For some time now, the problems off those of us who defend the commons, water, land, and environment here in Mendoza have worsened because the current government of the province of Mendoza, which has been in power for about a decade, has appointed judges in the court. The head of the court used to be the political minister of the governor. The court attorney, who manages all prosecutors, was appointed by the governor. The director of the public ethics office was appointed by the governor. Furthermore, 10 billion pesos a year are made available from the Mendoza budget for official advertising, so the struggles for water are silenced and the only thing that we see in the media is the promotion of extractivist activities, even to the detriment of the productive model we used to have, which is agroindustry, tourism, and low irrigation cattle farming. The most serious problem and the reason why we have been raising alarms is that a copper mining company is being installed or is going to be installed at the head of the basin of the most important river in Mendoza, which is the Mendoza River, precisely in Uspallata. In 2007, we had succeeded through grassroots mobilization in demanding the government to pass Law 7722, which prohibits the use of toxic substances such as cyanide, sulfuric acid, and mercury, and other similar toxic substances in open-pit mega-mining exploitation. But this mining project, the San Jorge project, in 2021 won at the national court and this last part of other similar toxic substances was removed. So this project is going to use toxic substances similar to cyanide in the headwaters of this river basin. The most serious aspect of all of this is that they are also violating all the processes, not only of the provincial environmental law, but also the national one. To give you an idea, they have just published this morning in the official gazette that the public hearing for this project will be held on August 2nd. On August 2nd we are in the middle of winter, the harshest part of winter, and the place where the public hearing will be held is at the construction site of the mine up in the mountains. The people who are going to be able to go up to that place in the middle of winter are the people that the government and the mining companies take. Also, Solwe Company, a multinational corporation that has also wreaked havoc in other parts of the world such as Guatemala, has over 70 mining exploration projects in addition to the San Jorge project. And this same Solwe Company acquired the 118,000 hectares of the Yalguaraz field. Therefore, it not only has the right granted by the state over the subsoil, but also the ownership of the surface. So, practically nobody will be able to enter these lands, and when those 70 exploration projects are in operation, it is going to be an open pit mine with toxic substances covering approximately 2,400 hectares. Take into account that now with this single project they are already emptying half of one of the two most important streams in this basin, Arroyo El Tigre.
Sacando la mitad de uno de los dos arroyos más importantes de esa cuenca, que es el Arroyo El Tigre.
Now Romano tells us about the people who have been criminalized for protesting, for mobilizing and defending water.
El 24 de enero se hizo un atentado de falsa bandera donde
on January 24th there was an attack where they tried to criminalize those of us who defend water. The government of Mendoza and the mining companies that day sent approximately 100 people from a union, the Argentinian Construction Workers Union, the UOCRA, and they tried to impose by force the installation of a mining office. After this, two environmentalist activists from the Assembly for Water of Uspallata, Mauricio Cornejo and Federico Soria, were charged. One of them was detained for almost a month with a broken collarbone because he had had an accident and he was in a common cell. Federico Soria was also detained for 3 days and we somehow managed to free them, but the process was flawed, and the situation continues. The serious problem that we have now is, as I just said, the public hearing, and that all the formal processes required by the environmental legislation are being somehow rigged by a government that not only has accumulated public power, but also has all the money to influence the media to try to obtain or buy a social license. That is why for us any help in communication is indispensable, and it is also important to thank all the organizations that helped us when these two environmentalists were persecuted. Friends of the Earth was one of the organizations that helped us, and for that we are eternally grateful, and in the same way we will also be grateful for spreading the message. Thank you, and we hope to continue resisting because in Mendoza water is worth more than gold.
That was Marcelo Romano from the Assembly for Water of Uspallata. We send all our solidarity to them.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
Panama has been mobilizing for over 2 months. As we discussed on our last episode, what triggered these grassroots mobilizations in Panama were three factors. One, the social security reform presented in March, with cuts, labor and retirement benefits to hundreds of thousands of workers. Two, a proposal by President José Raúl Mulino to reopen a copper mine, violating a Supreme Court ruling that ordered its closure in 2023 after massive demonstrations. And three, the signing of a memorandum that allows the United States to return to its old bases near the Panama Canal and increase its military presence in Panamanian territory. The demands could be summarized in three main areas: environmental, labor, and national sovereignty. These are said to be the largest protests in the last 30 years in the Central American country. The government has responded with repression and criminalization. Interestingly, the International Labor Organization, the ILO, this week included Panama in the list of the 24 countries that violate freedom of association the most, and the situation in the province of Bocas del Toro in the north of Panama has been getting increasingly worse, where in mid-June the national government suspended some constitutional guarantees such as freedom of transit, assembly and expression, and allowed arbitrary arrest without a court order. A state of emergency was declared and internet communications were cut off. The repression of the protests in that area have been brutal, and reports of serious human rights violations are available to anyone who wants to see and hear them. To get a report on the situation, we talked to Ronaldo Ortiz of the Panamanian Peasant Union, which is part of the Latin American Coordination of Rural Organizations, CLOC La Vía Campesina, and the National Front for the Defense of Economic and Social Rights. Ortiz was interviewed by journalist Carlos Aznares for Resumen Latinoamericano.
Lamentable, trágico lo que está pasando nuestro hermano pueblo.
What is happening to our comrades of Bocas del Toro province on the border with Costa Rica is tragic. The Bocas del Toro people is mainly composed of the Ngué Dubal people, Native and Afro peoples. They have faced many struggles and have been neglected by the central government. They have been experiencing a difficult socioeconomic reality, for instance in the province of Darien, which is on the border with Colombia. These have always been provinces that are not seen, not taken care of. So, this reality is added to what is happening at the national level regarding laws such as the one on Social Security. For instance, in 2010, 2011, there was another action by the government of that time, where a law was passed that included in turn several laws and many of the people who came to the front were from Bocas del Toro. In fact, there was a massacre in Boca del Toro that we also denounced years ago. So, this is an example of the social inequality, the socioeconomic problems and the history that we have with the current government, that in 2010 to 2011 it was executing a massacre. This reality caused the people of Bocas del Toro, not only in the urban areas, but also in the rural areas, the areas that are adjacent to the province, to act and defend themselves because human rights are being violated. And since the teachers' 39 strike was declared, the people of Bocas del Toro joined in and closed the access roads to the province for more than 30-40 days. Then the government, after breaking an agreement, holds a dialogue with the banana union sectors that are strong there and that today have two of their main leaders on a maximum security prison in the country. From June 20, human rights have been violated, the dignity of the people who have been detained has been damaged. There are strong declarations of even attempted rape with tear gas canisters. So, a whole series of abuses that we are denouncing before international authorities. But we need to highlight that Bocas del Toro is the result of a government policy that is totally absent. Now that these problems have arisen, now they are interested in seeing what can be done with Boca del Toro, when in fact it is a dignified town that supports itself with the little or as much as they can produce and self-manage. But this is the reality, which is part of the neoliberal economic policies of the capitalist system, which result in what is happening in Bocas del Toro and in the country. As we say, this is a country with immense inequality in a sea of wealth. And this is how these violations have been occurring. There is a state of emergency that has been extended for 5 more days. What does this mean? The lifting of constitutional guarantees, there is no direct communication. Telecommunications networks are suspended. A journalist who was in the area these days denounced that the only way to look for a signal was through international technology. Besides this, some analog public telephones that are wired can be used, but that is it. There is a state of siege in Bocas del Toro by the militarized police, that is the National Border Service and the Aeronautical Service, which are an army in practice, and which are acting against the people of Bocas del Toro, without law or order.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
And lastly, on June 2, 2021, a container ship sunk off the coast of Colombo in Sri Lanka, containing tons of dozens of types of chemicals, including nitric acid, sodium dioxide, copper and lead, although what attracted the most attention, at least initially, were plastic pellets. The ship, named Express Pearl, had entered Sri Lankan international waters on May the 19th, already knowing that it was leaking chemicals. 6 days later, it exploded. Almost half of the containers fell into the water and washed ashore with huge quantities of plastic pellets. According to data published by Mongabay, 25 metric tons of nitric acid and some 50 billion plastic pellets, from which almost any plastic product is produced, leaked into the waters of the Indian Ocean. 4 days after the sinking, the Center for Environmental Justice, Friends of the Earth Sri Lanka, filed a petition with the Supreme Court requesting the national government to set up working committees to deal with the case, quantify the damage, bring charges against the companies responsible, take measures to control the pollution, and pay compensation. In addition to the destruction of marine ecosystems and the sustained damage over time as the chemicals enter the food chain through fish and other sea animals, fishing communities were severely affected. Now we will hear from Hemanta Withenage, chair of Friends of the Earth Sri Lanka and also of the Environmental Federation, Friends of the Earth International, who was interviewed by Mahu Varghese, Asia-Pacific focal point of the Internationalist Solidarity System of Friends of the Earth International. Hemanta explains more about the court case filed by Friends of the Earth Sri Lanka and the claims for compensation, among other issues. The interview takes on special interest after another container ship sank in May this year in the Arabian Sea in the Indian state of Kerala.
From the day one, they tried to hide all the information. They didn't allow us to know that what was in the container, but luckily, through the Right to Information Act, I got the list of containers and what was there from the Marine Environmental Protection Agency. And I released this information even before the ship completely sunk in the water. We took this matter to the parliament. There were parliamentary hearing committee, the media. You can get this in the media. So we said that we cannot have the case in the Singapore law, and it has happened in Sri Lanka. All the damage is here. All the witnesses are here. So the evidence are here. So therefore, we have to file the case under the Sri Lankan jurisdiction in the Sri Lankan court, which we done actually. We filed the initial case only 4 days after the incident, and there were four other petitions joined, and then through this petition, now this 29th, the May 29th, they completed the hearing, and now we are waiting for the judgment. And in this claim, Center for Environmental Justice claims clearly demand to pay this 6.4 billion compensation. Our claim is about 6,000 pages document, so which we have got through the court case. I think we can share that claim as well. Now, in the claim process, after the first claim, normally another at least two more claims should be done. But unfortunately, the Sri Lankan authorities, they didn't support the small team, 40 people's expert team, to continue this work. So therefore, we don't have the claim number 2 and 3. So there should be continuous research because we are talking about the chemical pollution and it's going through the food chain and all of them. So you need some time. You cannot just initially check and make a claim for everything. So it should be continuous work. In our case, we found 1,680 plastic pallets is just one ship in few containers, but also they were in a very breakable plastic bags. You know, this should be controlled. There should be better guidance to transport, and I think maybe carry more than 1,000 metric tons of plastic pallets in just one ship. Definitely is going to create a disaster, because previous cases, like there was one in Hong Kong, one in South Durban, and all of them are actually talking about 50 metric tons or something around. But in our case, 1,680 metric tons. There should be definitely control. And also under the Basel Convention, there's a proposal to bring this plastic needle as a waste material. So all the countries should get together and fight for this international law amendments to suit this kind of maritime chemical disasters.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
So now we have reached the end of our fourth episode of Voices are Action. We remind you that you can find more about this and many other issues on our website, rwr.fm, our Twitter and Facebook pages, and on Instagram at real_world_radio. Thank you for listening.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.